You are listening to the sixth season of the Just Powers podcast. I'm Dr. Sheena Wilson, principal investigator of Just Powers, and I'm joining you from Amiskwichi, Wisconsin, Beaver Hills House, colonially named Edmonton, where the University of Alberta is situated in Western Canada. I'm joined by Patrick Mann, our guest host for all eight episodes of the Reflector series.
Hello to our listeners, and thanks very much, Sheena. I'm joining you from Eastern Canada and the lands where Western University is located in London, Ontario, on the traditional territories of the Anishinaabeg, the Haudenosaunee, the Lenape Walk, and the Chinantan Nations, on lands connected with the London Township and the Sombra Treaties of 1796 and the Dish with One Spoon Covenant Wampum. The title of this podcast is Reflector 3, Indigenous Knowledge Bundles, and you'll hear from members of the Speculative Energy Futures team, Curtis McAdam, Sheena Wilson, and myself, Patrick Mann. In Reflector 3, Curtis enlarges on our understanding of Indigenous bundles through a mix of storytelling, teaching, and song, including to help us articulate a link between traditional bundles passed on through Indigenous cultures over thousands of years and our SEF Flux Kit bundles. Be sure to check out the episode description for links to our interactive resources so you can enjoy a visual and auditory encounter with Bundle as you listen to this podcast. So now, Sheena, would you briefly introduce Curtis McAdam to us?
My pleasure. Curtis McAdam is a knowledge keeper from Big River First Nation, located in what is now called Saskatchewan. And Curtis is the direct descendant to treaty signatory Chief Sesewahum, who signed Treaty Number 6. Curtis is a father, a storyteller, a knowledge keeper, and an activist. He was raised in a traditional Cree family, and he has spent his entire life learning the old ways of the Cree people. He does research with other elders to collect and preserve Cree oral stories and teachings, and we are so happy to have him as a member of our Speculative Energy Futures team.
Thank you, Sheena, for that introduction to Curtis, and we'll be speaking with him shortly. But before we do, I know we've talked about bundles with Janice and Ruth in the last episode, but I wonder how you explain to people what a bundle is.
All bundles are a gift, really, a sacred gift passed from one generation to another to support the carriers of the bundle to live a good life. You know, a peaceful life that allows individuals and communities to be more well, to be happier, and to be mutually flourishing. So with a sacred bundle, these gifts might be physical, such as a drum or a pipe or a rattle. The gift might include conceptual laws or songs to live by or stories and love that passes that love. The bundle on the Speculative Energy Futures team is an interdisciplinary, intercultural bundle of knowledge. There's Indigenous storytelling in it and teachings. And, you know, those are elders speaking for themselves on audio recordings. We have a zine that's co-authored. It has Indigenous and non-Indigenous authors. Janice McCokas and I wrote that together. It includes knowledges from both of our kind of epistemological systems. And it also contains the cedar and tobacco, which were harvested according to certain traditional practices and ways of doing things in a good way. You know, it's informed by ceremony. We had ceremony. And Patrick, of course, himself, our host here on the podcast, created these beautiful prints of the robin on birch bark prints. And there's other visually impactful images. It's very colorful. There's the color of the rainbows, and each color has a signification. So, everything in that bundle represents and signifies something, and a lot of thought went into each piece of it. And we hope that you really have, you know, fun exploring it. And so this is a very serious set of knowledges, and Western scientific reason has been very explicit about its power relations and making sure that these knowledges did not have validity or were undermined. But now we need to bring them back into the conversation, whether they're Indigenous or they're feminist or, you know, they're from elsewhere in the world. And here on these lands, these knowledges are really important.
That brings to mind, too, is some of the ways in which I think artists often kind of work with what we call knowledge, and yet often in ways that we don't think of as highly analytical. And so that may be, for example, through symbol, through the symbolic. And I was reading something about Albrecht Dürer, the famous print artist of the Middle Ages, for whom doing science was simply about representing what he could see, you know, the detail of a bird's wing, that sort of thing. And I think when we were hearing from Curtis and Janice about some of the ways that knowledge is passed on, a lot of times it does have a strong symbolic kind of presence that is being handed over. And I think that was one of the sort of wonderful ways in which we found some, you know, places of meeting and understanding across cultures and across experiences around what we think of as knowledge and storytelling. Mm-hmm. We're really happy that we're going to have a focused conversation with Curtis McAdam now around the whole notion of the bundle and how it works. But I'm also reminded that Curtis came into the project while we were working in Onion Lake. And that was a point at which we had many people from that community as well as from beyond that community working with us. And so some of the important storytellers and people who were elders in that community, Diana Steinhauer and Clarence Whitstone, made huge contributions to the learning and knowledge that especially the young people in the community of Onion Lake had access to. And at the same time, we had other people who ultimately came to really help make and create the bundle with us. And those included Janice's mother, Pat McCokas. It also included my wife, Barbara Mann, and artist Charmise the Carr, who did sewing as part of that whole process. And within the bundle, there's a wonderful representation through a series of rainbow-colored cards of Curtis McAdam's father, Francis McAdam. And there we see him on his traditional land, which has been clear cut. And that becomes another narrative of the bundle that I think makes for a really rich and not untroubling aspect of teaching that the bundle provides us with. So now we have the opportunity to connect with Curtis, and I know that Curtis's knowledge and wisdom around what we're dealing with here today is going to be really enlightening for all of us.
Yeah, that's great. And also, you know, through the beauty of technology, we have Francis McAdam, his father, singing, and Curtis is singing with him. And we have, you know, some great audio technicians who helped us do that. I believe at the time, Catlin Kuzak helped us do that. He recorded Curtis, and then Curtis is singing with his father on the recording. You know, the five of us are just really the tip of the iceberg. We're sort of the people who maintained that project or stewarded it, but it had, you know, dozens of people participating on it. So stay tuned, everyone.
Curtis McAdam, I want to turn to you. So I remember what an important moment it was for the project when Janice decided it would be great to have you involved. And so I wonder if you could sort of think back to when you came into the project and some of the things that you were anticipating, some of the things you were imagining that you could contribute. That would be great for us to hear about.
Thank you. You know, when I think back now, prior to the Bundles team getting together and where I was in Saskatchewan in my home area out in the land. And, you know, I grew up out in the land. I grew up with the elders and trap lines and hunting and, you know, living a traditional way of life. And then weekends, you know, that's what I did. And during the Pete passed on to me, I went to school. So when I think about my era, my childhood, that lifestyle I had back then is it complements of what we're doing today. It's the same thing. So when I think about like land and environment and water and all that, you know, it's living off that land and maintaining it and knowing it and growing up in it and respecting it and being peaceful. But you know, the main thing about that is that it gave me the values of who I am today with cultural knowledge. When I think about bundles, that is authentic inherent knowledge being passed down. So, you know, as I was growing up, my parents had bundles. They had ceremonies, and you know, after they passed on, before they passed away, they were teaching me these bundles throughout my life. What they mean and what they contribute to land and how you're supposed to be connected to the land, and you know, and then communities and what goes on in institutions is very similar to, you know, the teachings that they gave me. So these bundles that my elders, my parents gave me, you know, they have different meanings to them. And throughout history, you know, there have been different bundles that have been passed down. And there's some communities, some places, even here, there's bundles that are thousands of years old that families have. So, you know, when you pass on a bundle to somebody, that's giving them something that they can use down the road in the future, your great grandkids, you know, you're giving them a piece of your knowledge that you think that might be helpful for them, that might be helpful to the environment, that might be helpful to communities or something like that.
Yeah, thank you so much, Curtis. It's a great way to sort of begin to kind of situate what we did when we created, first of all, convergences, and then we actually made our bundle project for the Flux Kit. I'm thinking about some of the physical things that might go into a bundle. I know a bundle can be something that you might carry in your heart, but I know it can also be something that you would carry in your bag or your pocket. And so I wonder if maybe you could talk about some of the kinds of things that might have gone into a traditional bundle. That, you know, might have involved some objects from the land, and how you think about that in relation to, you know, the kinds of things that might go into a bundle that maybe is a little bit less physical.
When you talk about bundles, there's like multi bundles that you can make that are passed on to you, but they can be all in one bundle. You can compile them into one bundle, but you know, each bundle has a different story to them. For example, there's one ceremony that I do that's with my parents passed down to me. It's a ceremony regarding what's in the air, anything that is in the air that flies up there. So, but mainly it's for the birds. So the wings that would be passed on to me from there for my parents from when they had it when they were young and their parents and so forth. So, you know, the feathers that I got from there are teaching about environment. And then there's a rock that comes with it that is a generational rock too. Sometimes it's hard to translate Cree words. The Cree word to that is Nimihtuwesini, but the dancing rock, we call it. And it heals people through form of dancing. So, you know, when you go to ceremonies, you see people dancing. It's powwows, round dance, or, you know, sun dance. There's different forms of dancing. That's a form of healing to people. It's healing you. It's healing your body. And feeling Mother Earth while you stand on your dancing, that's, you know, that's similar to the trails that you go to. You're supposed to approach it that way with a good heart, a good mind. So, you know, when you look at those bundles and, you know, there's other objects that are within the bundle that are passed on to you, but those teachings come in there. And then when I look at this bundle that we all created, you know, I took a picture of my dad one day. We were going out to the land, you know, the land was, when I was growing up, it was beautiful. You can drink off the rivers and the ponds and, you know, the lakes that are around there. And when I took him to that land, that same area where he grew up in, it was unrecognizable. So, you know, I took a picture of him and I thought, you know, this is something I'd like to share with people, a before and after type of thing, you know, like his generation, that was their home. Our generation today, you know, what does our home look like? What are we forming it into? What are we changing it into? This is not just for Indigenous people, but, you know, it's everybody. That's their home, that the land out there, the trees, the plants, everything that is out there, that's their home. So, you know, that's the main thing I wanted to share with people is like, if I'm not here one day and, you know, maybe there's a young person in a generation or two from now, that look at it, they might, you know, reflect on that. Is like, what message are they getting from that? You know, what critical thinking is it developing for them? That's what I'm hoping would, you know, come out of this for myself when I shared my information on that one.
Thanks for that, Curtis. Yeah, when you open up the bundle that we made, on one side you see that rainbow of the pictures of your father, and so you had brought that photo to us, which shows your father where on his traditional homeland, which has been clear cut. And the rainbow is, and the rainbow of colors was really important for the bundle. And so together we decided that we would make, I guess, is it seven colors? I think we have.
Yep.
And each one is that same picture. And then on the other side, there's a Cree word with a small English translation. And those words really relate to the stories that people can hear when they go to the QR code and they hear the recordings of you and Janice in particular talking about some of the traditional teachings. So I'm thinking back to the conversations we had about language and the Cree words that you ultimately came up with for the bundle, and in a sense, how big those words are. You know, they represent so much. And I wonder if there's any of those words that you think back to that you could talk about a little bit, because I think there's a sense that, you know, translating them doesn't tell the whole story. There's a whole history in the language that I think is really, really remarkable for us to kind of know a bit more about.
Sure. Those colors, those seven colors, you know, when most often when you look at indigenous paintings, you know, you might be going down a river and all of a sudden you see like paintings on the rocks, and or, you know, you go to Ascendance and you see like rainbow colors, like you see yellow, red and purple. You know, there's all kinds of beautiful colors you'll see there. You know, that when I asked about those colors when I was growing up, it's like, what do they mean? What are they? What do they stand for? Like, I was asking those kind of questions. I was very curious as to what each color meant. And each color was spoken to me about, like the sun represents the yellow. And, you know, those colors for each of these beings, each of those spirits that live out in the universe, you know, it's very humbling to learn that. But, you know, at the same time, when they talk about those colors, they talk about what spirit is connected to that. And then my question was, is like, how come there's so many colors and where did they originate it from? So that's where that story came from, is like, you know, I had to go through quite a few elders to learn that story. It was actually really interesting journey. And sometimes, you know, these elders, just, you know, you hear about people, it just fell in my lap. That's what happened. So, you know, sometimes an elder would be talking about creation stories when I'm in a ceremony down in Alberta or in Manitoba. And then I would hear another story about that same elder, what they're talking about. So, you know, that rainbow, where it came from is like on the last days of there's a man that came here in Canada, in the United States. His name is Wissahichak. He came here to make changes. And it was after the Great Flood. And he created the rainbow. But before the rainbow, he asked people what did they prefer. But in the end of that, it's kind of a long story. In the end of that, they picked culture. And when they picked culture, all the spirits came together and they said, you'll use my color for this. This is who I am. So, you know, all the spirits came together and they made the rainbow. And that is your contract. That is your promise to Creator. You're always going to do ceremonies. So when you look at paintings and you might see like a horse with paintings on it, red or yellow or purple, they all represent to remind us that we promise to take care of this land, to promise to practice culture. And those colors are there. Most times, you know, when you look at these colors, people wonder what they are, but it's a promise that we made to Creator that we're always going to follow the culture that he left for us. And those colors represents the spirits that were there, that witnessed that promise that day. And those colors, we use them still today as a reminder of that promise. And also too, it's like we say Ngui Mi in Cree. It's like my spiritual helper. In English, they call them guardian angels. But in Cree, we say Ngui Mi. This is the spirit that I was born with. When I was born, the spirit will walk with me, and till the last day of my life, the spirit will walk with me. And this will be your guide when you go to the other side, is like that spirit. But, you know, once a year, you have to give that spirit a certain color that represents them. That is part of that promise, too, because, you know, when we made that promise, those spirits, too, that made an agreement to walk with us. You know, the moment our children are born, they're there. Another spirit is there ready to guide that child into adulthood and learn indigenous culture and learn the promises and the laws and animal laws and all that. So I'm trying to make a long story short. I hope that makes sense.
One of the things that I'm really enjoying is remembering all the conversations that we had as we were working together. And of course, a lot of that was on Zoom at times, but there was a way in which, you know, I think the Bundle Project represented a lot of storytelling and conversation. It wasn't just about making and printing and all of that sort of thing. So that's one of the things I love about it. And the fact that Janice's mother did the sewing and other people were involved in different ways. It's quite rich in that way.
Yeah, everybody came together on that one, which I really enjoyed that because, you know, when I thought about what I want to leave a piece of knowledge to the future for younger people, I thought, well, I know the individuals that I'll be working with, they've got some really good knowledge too. They work in professional environments. Maybe they, you know, out of their thoughts too, they can share something. They can put a little bit in there that they can share, you know, and pass on to the next generations and so forth. So, you know, I really enjoyed that when we were making the bundles.
Yeah, and as Ruth and I have been saying, you know, as artists, you know, coming into this project without obviously the indigenous knowledges that you and Janice bring to it, you know, it was really wonderful to feel so kind of enabled to participate and to kind of use our skills and magic to help create something that needed doing. Sheena, I'm wondering if you have any things you want to raise?
Well, I just thought it was really beautiful too, the way we have your father's song in the bundle, right? And sort of thanks to the gifts of digital technology and Catlin Kuzik's work, blending that together, you sing with your father in the bundle. So that's a real gift to everyone to be able to listen to the knowledge as passed on through that song in Cree. Right. And maybe you want to talk a little bit about what that song means, since if people hear it and they don't speak Cree, they may not understand the song.
I'll say the words. It means Nichewakan Ocheche Payuka Paske Weche Tuya Minagitam Kawiwa Patunano. It means that's not completely a ceremonial song. That one, but it's also kind of a ceremonial song. They used to sing that song in Sundances. You know, think of a Sundance as one big bundle, but that bundle was created thousands of years ago, and it was created by Creator and the spirits, and they gave this bundle to us, and not gave it to us, but, you know, it's a generational thing that we're supposed to pass on, that knowledge in there. And at the end of that ceremony, there would be a man that would go around the Sundance and sing that song. My friend, we have come to a time, a path where it will separate. But one day in the future, our paths will cross and we'll see each other again well and healthy like that. It's a blessing song, meaning that our roads are going to separate today. But one day they will cross and we will meet each other in a good way, in a healthy way. That's what it means. So when I was thinking about that song, I thought, well, my journey right now is with these folks. This is the bundle team. We're going to share something and we're going to go on a journey and we're going to talk about environmental issues and, you know, issues that impact indigenous people and everybody, I suppose, throughout the world. So we're going to share pieces of knowledge, but one day our path is going to separate and we're still going to be friends and we're still going to see each other time to time.
That's lovely.
So I thought, you know, that's going to be a journey for most people, I think, you know, down the road. They're going to work on projects that are environmental and they might play that. And, you know, they might come across again in a different journey regarding environmental issues and that stuff.
And, you know, speaking about the journey that we went on and things we learned together, for many people on the team, it was their first experience participating in a sweat. Maybe you want to talk about how you came to that decision and about our experience around the sweat.
Mm-hmm. You know, the sweat lodge is it's a very important ceremony. But before I go there, I'll share a quick story in relation to that. Of all these years, you know, when I was growing up, every time we do something that is meaningful, that is going to be have an impact in our hearts or in our minds or, you know, something like that, we always did ceremony first to get that blessing. So I thought, you know, this is appropriate. This is something that I think we need. So when I reached out to an elder to come and help us with the ceremony, I thought, I explained it to him prior to that it's going to be about environment and Mother Earth and water and land and air. And so he was trying to grasp this, try to understand it, because a lot of them didn't quite really understand the English words. So when I said it to him in Cree, he really understood it. So, you know, when we came together to make the Sweat Lodge, it was a team thing, like everything else that we've been doing. It's been a team thing, like building it and putting the blankets and the covers into that. And, you know, the Sweat Lodge is a very important area where we get permission to do certain work, like what we did, even putting that music, that song in there. That's giving me permission. And I'm not crossing spiritual laws when I do that. So even this information that we shared that is indigenous knowledge based type, it's not crossing any laws that'll impact us in such a way, but in a good way instead. So that's what the ceremony I thought was important. Plus, you know, I think it opened up a side of us that we didn't know about each other, our strengths being in there, you know. I got to see your guys' families in there, which were very beautiful families and friends you have that you invited. So, you know, it brings more connections to other people too. I got to meet people that, you know, I didn't meet prior to it, that were working behind the scenes type of thing. So, yeah, right on.
Yeah, that was a really great experience. I think having that intergenerational connection, right? We had all of these indigenous knowledge keepers and elders, and then people brought their kids along. And, you know, my one son is at a good age. He helped build the whole sweat. And I think that was really meaningful, because a lot of times we're off at work doing things and our kids don't exactly know what we're doing and they're off at school. And I mean, he takes, you know, Cree classes with Dorothy Thunder. He's so lucky. I wish I could take Cree classes with Dorothy Thunder. But it was a really amazing experience for, you know, the whole family to be able to be part of that, and extremely memorable for sure. And I do think it set us off to Switzerland in a very good way. And we also, you know, we tried to introduce some of these concepts in the classroom and also with the community in Switzerland as well. So thank you for doing that for us, Curtis.
I was thinking about Switzerland and what a kind of powerful impression your teaching and Janice's, you know, had on the students there. And I wondered if you have any reflections on doing that, because it did feel very different than being in Canada. I mean, a lot of the same sort of misunderstandings exist, but I still felt as you know, somebody who's a settler in Canada, that it was very different being in Europe with the people there, especially when you were doing your teaching.
When we went out there, I thought, this looks like British Columbia in some ways. When I saw the mountains, I thought, wow, I can fit into this pretty good. So it kind of felt like home at the same time seeing the mountains. And, you know, there's half of that land it's flat too, kind of like Saskatchewan. So, you know, I thought, this is a beautiful place. This is a good place to be. So, you know, when I went into those classrooms and I saw the young people that were there, I thought, well, this is the bundle. This is it. This is what it's supposed to be about. It's supposed to be about them. And, you know, I wanted to share as much as I could about the bundle and about who I was and where I came from and my background and some of the values I grew up with based on lands and ceremony. And it was a lot of fun talking to these young people over there, and they were just soaking it up like a sponge. So, you know, they were asking a bunch of questions, and I like to fact that we put them in groups where they were talking about, you know, what they were learning from it, and they were coming up with so many different ideas, you know. And I think that's the main thing about the whole thing, is like you have people talking and thinking about alternative ways to use energy or to create energy, you know. It's folks like that. It's the next generation that I have a lot of belief in, that they're going to make the change. They're going to become the new wheel, I suppose. If they have to reinvent the wheel, then that's what they got to do. And I hope it's a lot better one that we're kind of using today, because You know, I'm certainly feeling that the environment today, it's really changed. Like, it's extremely changed quite a bit. You know, when I go outside, the moon is sitting a little bit different. The animals are behaving a little bit different too. So I'm seeing more wildlife coming into my yard. You know, it's been really different. Like, this past couple of years, especially with the way the environment has been behaving, I suppose.
Yeah, I will say I have this image when we were in St. Gallen, and it's more of an imagined image, but it seemed to me that the students and us were all sitting in a big circle in chairs. And I felt like as you and Janice were speaking, it felt as if the chairs were moving closer and closer into the circle. You know, there was almost this perceptible sense that, you know, the students in particular were really kind of getting close. And it was just, it was a really beautiful experience to kind of feel that that's what was going on. So thank you so much.
It's funny you said that. Last night I went and made a fire, and I was sitting out there, and I'm in a dark by myself except me and the fire, and I'm just sitting there, and the wind is blowing, and I'm looking at the moon, and I'm feeling that way, just the way you described with nature, and the wind is slightly blowing, and I could feel the energy that is very, you know, very healthy energy. And then this time I didn't have people. I got like four dogs that were sitting around the fire with me. So, I, you know, we were connecting really good last night.
That's awesome. Yeah.
That's a great place to connect. If you have any reflections, this was amazing. So I don't know if you have anything to add, Curtis or Sheena.
Thank you, Curtis, very much for everything you've brought to the whole project and for our conversation today.
Oh, right on. Thank you. It was wonderful. I loved it. I enjoyed it. I got to see everything in a different perspective also. It's like there was even art you guys did with to send a message for environmental. I was really intrigued about that. I was really interested how that's going to look. And I kept thinking about the rocks that are, you know, that were painted from long ago and the messages they carry today. You know, those are the reflections that I have, is like thinking about some of the projects that you guys did that I didn't think about. You know, that was really brilliant. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
I'm really glad to hear that, Curtis. That's great. We always love working with you as well, any chance we get. And I can't wait to see what comes next for our bundle and our future collaborations, all of that. Who knows?
Oh, that's so well said, Sheena. I think we'll leave it at that and look forward to our next episode where we do other work with story, and that includes some wonderful publications that have come out of our project. See you next time.
Thank you for listening to the sixth series of the Just Powers podcast, Reflector, on the topic of speculative energy futures, which uses research creation as an interdisciplinary method for approaching climate justice and energy transition. Be sure to visit the Just Powers website at justpowers.ca, where you can learn more about speculative energy futures and explore the Flux Kit. You will also find information about our ongoing projects and access to more resources. This podcast is made possible by support from Future Energy Systems Canada, the First Research Excellence Fund, the Social Sciences and Humanities Research Council of Canada, the COOL Institute of Advanced Study, the University of Alberta, Alberta EcoTrust, and the City of Edmonton. Special thanks to our guest host, Patrick Mann. This series was co-produced by myself, Sheena Wilson, Patrick Mann, Katie Lewandowski, and Sarah Taylor. Post-production was provided by Story Darling Studios in Edmonton, Alberta. This episode was edited by Sarah Taylor, CCE, and Blair Drover, mixed and mastered by Tony Bao, and music from Artlist.